Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
Let me read John's Gospel. We are reading something that was written around 100 generations ago. Now that's a long time. Each of the four Gospels were written by different people for different groups of people, and their Gospels each have a unique beginning. That means, as readers, we could learn much from these introductions or prologues, as they're called. These introductions or prologues tell us what the author's intentions are in writing their particular gospel book. We can also learn from these words what the author's purpose is and something about the particular book, and also something about Jesus. The Gospel of John was written primarily for both the Jews and Gentiles who were living in the larger Greco-Roman world in Ephesus and beyond towards the end of the first century AD. Now, the Gospel of John starts off differently from the other Gospels. He gives us no explanation or title of why he wrote the Gospel. John goes way back in time in his opening words. He goes back beyond time and before creation. He chose his words because he wanted the prologue to be a model after the creation account in Genesis. He explains Jesus has existed with God as God, God the creator of the universe, God whom Jesus calls Father. John's Gospel begins with these words: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The books of Genesis and John each start off with in the beginning. Moses and John wrote these three words for a specific reason. They wanted to convey a transition from the temporal or worldly to the eternal reality. The readers of John's Gospel knew these three words because they were Greek. John was writing to the Greeks in particular because they had not heard the Gospel yet. The essence of John's Gospel is about the eternal. These three words, in the beginning, reminds Jewish readers of Genesis. When they do this, they think of a worldly meaning, whereas John is thinking of an eternal reality, which is the essence of his gospel. For the Greek reader, the words can be translated in principle or models itself after the creation account in Genesis. Both prologues from Genesis and John are accounts of the creation from God's word. The supreme principle of the universe is not only its bond of unity, but its cause for existence. In other words, it is because of God's nature to reveal or communicate himself that there is a world at all. Everything in it, every single occurrence in time and space, is subject to this controlling fact that the world exists as a place for God's supremacy. Both Genesis and John's Gospels speak of darkness and light coming into being at God's word. The light overcame darkness. Now, after light and darkness, God creates everything else through the word. In Genesis, the light that overcame darkness is the light that we see with. The light John referred to is the light of Christ. John knows about the darkness in the world in his time, and in chapter 12, 31, 32, he gives us Jesus' words, how the darkness is overcome. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Now you may ask, if Jesus defeated Satan, why do we still have darkness? Satan is not dead, so he continues to drive a wedge between us and God. Jews and Gentiles thought life is not said to be a product of his action, as the world is, but rather one of its own inherent characteristics. When we pass from the inert thing to the living creature, we reach a stage where there is something in common between the creature and the creative principle besides bare existence. For a Christian reader, a new interpretation is present. Jesus is the light, and as the light brings to this dark world true knowledge, moral purity, and the light that shows the very presence of God. Only Jesus is holy in the Logos, or Word, and Jesus is truly life, so that all true life in us is drawn from Him. As He alone is truly life, in all periods, but most especially in the period of Jesus' ministry here on earth, the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Most, if not all of you, are familiar with what the lighthouse is. I grew up in northern Ohio on the shores of Lake Erie, where there are still some lighthouses. One of my favorites is Marblehead Lighthouse near Port Clinton. And years ago, I had a travel trailer, and when I'd leave work on Fridays, we would drive up there from Cleveland after work. And many of you may have seen one or more of these lighthouses. One of our last trips back in last September, we stopped on the west coast of Italy and visited Amalfi, where there's still a lighthouse you can rent, if you're interested. Now imagine, if you will, that you are walking along a secluded beach at night. In front of you, some distance away, is a lighthouse casting its beacon of light in one direction. This is the light that John is trying to convey. The light from the lighthouse only lights up a small portion at a time. The light doesn't last, but goes away for a few moments, then comes back. As Jesus spoke, His light was seen, but did not remove the darkness around. Even His apostles had doubts until His resurrection. The next few verses tell us about John the Baptist. John was Jesus' relative and was born before Jesus was born. John was about 6 months older than Jesus. John also began his ministry several years before Jesus began his ministry. John was known as a prophet. And prior to John the Baptist, there had been no prophets for about 600 years because Israel was living in darkness. They had rejected what the prophets had been warning them, so God abandoned them. He still loved them, and that's why He sent His Son, in hopes that by doing this, they may return from darkness and be filled with the light of Jesus, the Word. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. Dwelt is more than pitching a tent. Jesus grew up from a baby, being raised by Mary and Joseph. He grew into a man and began His ministry to save us. His birth that we just celebrated last week was an amazing event in the history of the world. God created the world through the Word, Jesus, and then sent Him to save it. Through God's Son, we, undeserving as we are, received His grace. Grace is the unmerited blessing and joy given to us without us doing anything to deserve it. Because God has so much love for us, He sent His Son so that we can have eternal life. All we have to do is believe in His Son. And by doing this, we will be energized to let the light of Christ shine through us, that others may see Him in us. By having faith in Jesus, we should be sharing the light with Him and doing help to others and doing good works. Doing good works without faith gets us nothing. But because we love Jesus and because He is the Son of God, we are motivated to do good works. There is so much darkness in the world today, and by each of us doing something to overcome. Several weeks ago, Deacon Diane had some gift boxes in the back for you to fill with gifts for children. They include the shirts and the toys. That is one of the ways that you let the light of Christ shine through you. And by letting the light of Christ shine for you, that's how we can establish the kingdom here through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, as Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Amen.